So I'm a nurse. My name's Kathleen Hay. Any nurses in the house? Yes. 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 Any physicians in the house? Cool. Respiratory therapist? Awesome. Okay, nurses, you rule. So thinking about forgiveness and also just being over it, I have a lot to say in that realm. So before I became a nurse, you know, I was a kid once. When I was a kid, I was very feisty, had a very strong sense of what is right and what is wrong, not in the universal sense of what is right and what is wrong, but just what is right or wrong to me. So I loved to build forts when I was a kid. And I did this at night after I had been put to bed. I would, you know, turn my bedroom into a fort. Mom and Dad come in and they say, Kathleen, it is past your bedtime. You have to go to sleep. And I said, no, it's not. You are wrong. R-O-N-G. So the sense of, like, righteousness I've had since a very young age. Fast forward to almost a decade ago, I became a nurse. Well, at this point in time, I was becoming a nurse. And I was at Johns Hopkins working on a GI floor where I took care of a lot of patients with liver failure. And one of the things that you go through when your liver is failing is that you might get a little confused or you might not know where you are. So at this point in time, I was a tech. I was working night shift. And I'm getting ready to tell you the first time I was over it. I start to smell cigarette smoke. I'm like, hold on. What's going on? Is somebody smoking? And this is in the old part of Hopkins where they have the semi-private rooms still with the curtain, you know, and there's one person who's in the bed when you first walk into the room, and then just on the other side of the curtain, there's another person who's made that half of the room their little apartment for like the 10 days that they're there. So I go into this room. Both people are tucked in. Okay, that's fine. And I'm like, oh gosh, cigarette smoke. It's getting stronger. Here we go. I'm going to find this person. Open the door. Person A, just laying in the bed. Person B, we'll call her Miss Sally, sitting up in the bed with her beautiful hair. She has her pocketbook on her lap. Yes, pocketbook. She's like flipping through that thing, smoking a cigarette. I am awestruck. I'm like, no way. Oh, I forgot to tell you. She has a nasal cannula in her nose, right? Meanwhile, person A on the other side of the curtain, you know, she can barely move herself, so she can't do anything to stop this smoking. I'm like, Miss Sally, you cannot be smoking in here. She looks at me. She looks at the cigarette, puts it out on the bed rail. And I was like, okay, cool. I am over being nice. So that was the first time I was over it, over being nice. Second time I was over it, and also had that sense of something is wrong, was when I was working in the ICU. This was pre-pandemic. That was when the ICU was fun. So I was working in the ICU, and I hear that I'm getting a patient who was brought in by EMS because he was found down after the police had sedated him while he was downtown robbing a Royal Farms after lighting it on fire. I'm like, cool, no worries, whatever, we got this. It's like 6:55 in the morning. So this guy comes in. He has quadruple amputations. He has below the elbow amputations and above the knee amputations. And I'm like, you said that this guy was lighting the Royal Farms on fire? How? One thing led to another. I understood very quickly that this man had a lot of capability beyond what I thought he did. Because it's time for him to wake up. We turned off all the sedation. He immediately pulls his own breathing tube out, starts cursing me up and down, like yelling expletives that I had really never thought anybody would say to me. So this part of my brain that's like, oh, this is wrong, this is R-O-N-G, this is just so R-O-N-G, that's firing. And the other part of my brain that's like, I have to keep this guy safe, otherwise he's going to like flail himself out of the bed. Well, so as I was having that conversation with myself, which probably lasted about 5 milliseconds, he did, in fact, flail himself out of the bed and begin to army crawl. I don't know if that's an appropriate term to use anymore, but began to army crawl across the floor, trying to get out of there. And I was like, okay, hold on. Let's get more hands here so we can get you back in the bed. This was the hardest part. We ended up getting him onto a sheet and then getting him back into the bed, and security came. They, thankfully, all the doctors agreed that this person had capacity and was able to leave. Security brought with them some nice ladies' clothing, and we cut off the arms and tied them, and we cut off the legs of the capris and we tied them, put him in the clothes, at which point we realized that he knew how to direct his expectorant very deliberately, and we all became the targets of his expectorant. My brain is like, this is so effing R-O-N-G, I can't even. And then, so that's the next time in the hospital I was over it. He was able to leave. I hope he's out there living his best life right now. So those were two times I was over it. First, I was over being nice. Then I was over the ICU. I was just like over it. And then the pandemic happened. And then I'm not gonna tell you pandemic stories. It was terrible, it was sad, it was horrible. I was really over it. And I left. I went to labor and delivery. Then I went to shock trauma. And I remember one day when I was in the multi-trauma critical care unit, sitting at the nurse's station, looking at two of my patients, and I thought, I could care less what happens to these people. And that was the moment I was over being over it. And I thought, I can't feel this way anymore. I have to get out of here. I have to do something, because these people deserve better and I deserve better. The part of me that's like, oh, this is R-O-N-G, definitely felt that way as I was leaving the hospital. I was like, man, this is so R-O-N-G that I can't be a nurse anymore. This is such a failure on my part. Fast forward to like now, after a lot of therapy. No, it's not a failure. We are in a really challenging time. There's burnout, there's systems. The nurses in this room can attest to the fact that it's a very challenging profession. And now I have a different nursing job, and I love taking care of people. So if you find yourself feeling over yourself, I've been there before. And the forgiveness part of the story, I think that's coming in to play. But that's a story that I'm going to continue with myself. So thanks.